with you. We love you and thank you and just are so appreciative for the way you teach us and lead us and guide us, the way you protect us and provide for us. And Father God, we want to learn more about that this morning and then be instruments of that to tell other people about our Jesus. We love you so much. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. Well, I'm starting a new series today, and I'm so excited about it. It's simply called Relationship Goals, and really it's what we're doing through the whole month of February. If you look at the surveys that are taken out there, the number one issue in people's lives, the number one topic that they want to talk about is relationships, or our relationships, marriage, divorce, toxic relationships. And so what we're going to do is I'm going to focus a little bit on the marriage side of things as we go through this week. And then on Wednesday nights, David is doing a series, a Bible study on how we relate to one another. And I just want to encourage you to be a part of all these over the next 4 weeks and allow God to grow you when it comes to your relationships with others, especially for me, as I talk about, especially in your marriages. What I'm going to try to do is, I understand, as I was talking to John and Gabby, I understand how tough it is, how tough marriage life really is. And, we go through all different kind of seasons of life, and there's pain, and there's hurt, and there's loss, and it's something that we really need to begin to focus on and make sure that we're doing all that we can to thrive in our relationships, especially our marriages. So what I'm going to try to do is I'm going to try to invest in the lives of those that hope to get married one day, right? And give you some handles on the front side of marriage that will help you prepare you and your future spouse for a godly marriage. And for those who are already married, what we want to do is we want to look at some goals. I'm going to give you some relationship goals over the next 4 weeks that I believe with all my heart that if you make these goals, if you keep these goals, that you can literally fail-proof your marriage. My desire is for all of us to hear something in this series that can help you. And so I've been praying, and I want you to know that if you're single, this series is for you. If you're happily married, this series is for you. If you're unhappily married, this series is definitely for you. If you're divorced and looking to remarry, this series is for you. If you're divorced and you're never going to marry again, it's for you. If you're dating, it's for you. If you're engaged, this series is definitely for you guys, right? If your Facebook status says complicated, this is for you. This is my prayer. What we're going to do is learn about how to do relationships God's way and have a lot of fun with it along the way. So relationship goals, over the next 4 weeks, I'm going to give you these goals right here. And here they are, all four of them right here for you. Relationship goals are, start with you, seek God, slay the devil, I can't wait for that one, and stay together. So let's say these together. These are the goals that we're shooting for, right? Start with you, seek God, you do it, slay the devil, stay together. Let's try it one more time. Yes, so this morning we're going to begin by starting with you to help you focus on becoming the one. We live in a world where everybody's trying to find the one, right? Everybody's trying to pursue the one. Everybody's trying to discover the one. And so I want to talk to you this morning about becoming the one. If you've been married for decades and decades, I want to talk to you about becoming the one that's going to get even, that's going to even help you in the relationship that you have to get better and to thrive in your life and in your family. I want to help you become the one that God's called you to be. And I think the problem in our society today is that we've kind of oversimplified relationships and we've learned how to do them in a wrong way. Maybe our culture has taught us in many different crazy ways. And what culture basically says to us is that, your life is a mess. Everything's going wrong. And if you would just find that person, then everything is going to go great. And you're going to ride off into the sunset and you're going to live happily ever After, yeah. But reality is, after you ride off into the sunset, you wake up and you're laying next to someone who has bad breath, who snores, doesn't know how to load the dishwasher, or start it, somebody said down here. That's really bad, bro. And you just got different ways of doing life, right? But that's real marriage. That's real relationships. So we've got to figure out how to do it right. And again, the problem is we oversimplify it sometimes. I heard a pastor say the other day that a lot of times we learn how to do relationships through music that we listen to. How many of you would agree with that? You know, you listen to certain music, you say, oh, yeah, that's what I want. That's my relationship goals right there, right? And I used to do that before I learned it. You better go to God's Word instead of music. I grew up, my mama loved Elvis Presley. She had a little shrine to Elvis Presley. I'm sorry, you know, she's in heaven, so I can tell this story. But she had a little shrine in her house to Elvis. It was weird. It was very weird. We even went to see Elvis the last time he was here in Lakeland. She drugged me with it. I didn't want to see Elvis, right? But he had this song. You remember this song, I Can't Help Falling in Love? You remember this one? The lyrics go like this. Wise men say only fools rush in, but I can't help falling in love with you. Now look at this second verse, right? Shall I stay? Would it be a sin? But I can't help falling in love with you. No, right? What in the world is that? Fools rush in. Don't do that, right? But I can't. It's a sin, or you know what? And you could take a song from every generation, so I just don't want to knock the old people. You could take a song from every generation and knock on it, right, because of how it says to do relationships, and we would all say, wrong, no. But evidently, this young generation here, they're starting to learn what it's all about, what relationships are all about. Even their little truth teller that they love so much, Taylor Swift, here's her new song. It's me. Hi, I'm the problem. It's me. Right. Absolutely. She gets it, right? She gets it. That's how you do relationships right there. So we are going to work on that. We're going to work on becoming the one. And I'm going to try to help you find how you can be a complete individual, secure in who God's created you to be, right? Developed in the purposes of God without necessarily having a person in your life. Now, if you're married, that doesn't mean you get to go, great, I'm out of here. No. Since you've already found the one, I want to encourage you now to become the one who God needs you to be so that your marriage can thrive. And so I'm praying that all of us will hear from God some great stuff that we can kind of download into our hearts and our minds that will have a profound impact on all of our relationships. I've shared this with you before, not recently, but Kim and I have been married. This year will be 40 years. 40 years. And, I think I've made you clap for that. Every month I'm going to make you clap for that, all right, on her behalf. We got married when we were 6. We're from Mulberry, so that's normal. That's kind of normal there. Actually, we met in church in the 5th grade, and we dated in high school and college, and then we got married, and we have been learning to love each other for all these years, trying to love each other like God loves. And we have a great marriage, right? But I just want to say, you don't need to have relationship goals where you say, oh, I want to have a relationship like Monty and Kim, right? No, you need to understand, all of us struggle, right? In all marriages, there can be challenges. Think about it. You take two imperfect people with different personalities, different physical and emotional needs, different family of origin issues, different strengths, different weaknesses, different goals and expectations, and we try to blend them into this happily ever after blissful experience. And then about 3 months into the marriage, we say, why can't you be normal, right? Why can't you be normal like me? Because if you acted like I act and communicated like I communicate and like the same movies and the food, then our relationship would be awesome. And whenever I find my mind going there, I hear self say, seriously, Monty, you really want to live with someone exactly like you? No. Right? Here's the deal. God is into variety. God is into unique. He is off the chart creative. Right? I mean, just look around. Off the chart creative. I love the story about the dad and his son who would go out late in the evening and they would catch lightning bugs. Anybody ever done that? Going out and catch lightning bugs? Or what you might call them what? Fireflies. Some people might call them fireflies. And they catch the lightning bugs. They put them in a jar. You put them in a jar, right? You put a lid on them. And you can look at them and they light up. And they were doing that. The father and son was doing it. And the little boy goes, wow, Daddy, they have shiny honeys. And I love that, right? Who thinks of stuff like that? I mean, God is so cool. I mean, I'm kind of glad we don't have shiny honeys, but God makes us all so different from each other. I've shared this article before with you. There was actually a man that lived in a town that was actually named Normal, and he married a woman from a town really named Oblong. You know, when the locals read their marriage announcement, there was nothing funny about it. But for everybody else, not so much. The headline said, Normal Man Marries Oblong Woman. And when you think about it, in our relationships, they feel that way sometimes, right? I'm the normal one. You're the crazy one. I'm normal. You're weird. It's fun to be able to point at Kim when I'm up here like this. Because we are so different, right? We're so different. Even in this room, we have morning people, right? And night people. Golf and tennis or pickleball. Better throw that in there. Coffee or tea. Quiet or verbal diarrhea. Cat or normal. Normal people. Please, I don't need any other cat paraphernalia. I got a bunch. I keep it in one little box in my office. All you people that give me stuffed cats, I love it. But we are all wired differently. Nowhere is that more apparent than the difference between men and women. I mean, not good or bad, not right or wrong. It's just different. When you get married, it's our differences that keeps us saying to one another, I don't get you. Why can't you be normal like me? Genesis, we'll start there as we begin this series. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 31 says this. Then God said, let us make mankind in our own image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. And then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. And they will be yours for your food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so good. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. God created us in his image, both equally important, both equally valued, loved by God, with many similarities, but also both with a ton of differences. I mean, I don't know if you noticed or not, but we are different physically. Our skeletal structure, our body parts, the testosterone and estrogen flowing through our bodies. Women are better conversationalists. Girls are verbal. Guys are visual. Girls are relational. Guys are physical. Girls prefer romance. Guys prefer action. Girls tend to feel their emotions. Guys tend to think their emotions. Sexually, men are like a light switch. Just flip it on. But women are more like an iron. It takes time to warm up. We're different, right? We're different in so many ways. Reminds me of the man walking on the... You remember this story? The man walking on a California beach. He was deep in prayer. And suddenly the sky, you know, the clouds parted and in the air, and the voice of the Lord came booming down. He said, "Because you have tried to be faithful to me in all the ways, I will grant you one wish." And the man thought about it for a minute, and he said, "Hey, how about this? Build a bridge to Hawaii so I can drive over anytime I want." And the Lord said, "Well, your request is very materialistic. I mean, think of the enormous challenges for that kind of undertaking. The supports to the bottom of the Pacific. The support, you know, the concrete and steel it will take, it will nearly exhaust every natural resource I have made. I mean, I can do it, but it's hard for me to justify your desire for worldly things. So why don't you just take a little more time and think of something that would honor and glorify me?" Man thought about it for a little bit, and finally he said, "Okay, Lord, I wish that you could help me understand my wife. I want to know how she feels inside, what she's thinking when she gives me the silent treatment, why she cries, what she means when she says nothing's wrong, and how can I make a woman truly happy?" And the Lord hesitated just for a few minutes, and he said, "You want 2 lanes or 4 lanes on that bridge?" Come on, that one never gets old, right? God shaped you and me and made us unique, even the one you're married to. So if we're going to thrive in our marriages, if we're going to we're going to have to appreciate and celebrate our God-given uniquenesses. It's a gift to each other. Celebrate differences. Don't highlight them. Don't let them aggravate you. You know, celebrate them. Don't try to change them. The young woman was getting married, and they were going through the rehearsal. And so, you know, she was trying to remember all the things that she needed to do. She first had to walk down the aisle, right? And then they were going to go over to an altar and have a prayer together. It's going to be beautiful. And then at the end, they were going to sing a hymn together. And so she just wanted to memorize that in kind of in her head, make sure she didn't make any mistakes on the big day. And so she just began to go over and over in her mind, you know, aisle, altar, hymn, right? Aisle, altar, him, I'll alter him, I'll alter him. And that's the way it goes, right? You know, he is so unorganized and spontaneous. I'll change him. She needs to loosen up, take some risk. I'll change her. And both become frustrated with each other, you know, when they don't change. And what they don't realize is their shape has been given to them by God. And that demands some flexibility and compromise because it's the way we are wired. Don't focus on the negative of each other. Kim and I are opposite in most ways. If she's hot, I'm cold, right? I should have said that the other way. I'm a night owl, she's a morning person, right? And sometimes that can be irritating or it can be a strength. And Kim and I choose to think it's a strength. Where I'm weak, she's strong. And where she's weak, I'm not as weak. But the two of us are so different. But I really believe we make a great one. We make a great one. So you see, your goal is to know how you're wired and to celebrate the unique ways God has made you, you. Then you use all the great things for His glory. You embrace how God wired you and you allow Him to transform you into His best version of you. When you surrender all your personality, all of the way He has shaped you, to the transforming power of God's Spirit, He begins to produce stuff in you like love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. And what happens is your personality begins to look a whole lot like Jesus. I mean, you're still uniquely you, but you're God's best version of uniquely you. John Ortberg says, as God starts moving in your life, you don't just start becoming holier, you become you-ier. You become God's best version of uniquely you. I just need to bring the best version of me to the relationship. Galatians 6, 4 and 5, Paul says this, make a careful exploration of who you are and the work you have been given, and then sink yourself into that. Don't be impressed with yourselves. Don't compare yourself with others. Each of you must take responsibility for doing the creative best you can with your own life. I have to bring the best version of me. And the only way that I can do that is to get my relationship with God right. You see, it starts with you. It starts with you. And I just want to give you two truths today to kind of hold on to in order to achieve this first goal of it starts with you. And the first one is this. Before you find your person, you need to find your purpose. And I know I talk a lot about, you know, God's purpose for you in your life, and you can go back and listen to Let's Grow, the purpose edition of that one, and I encourage you to do that. But I want you to get this, because in our world today, everything's about finding the person. And I want you to kind of scratch that idea, and I want you to find your person, purpose. I want you to hear this. So let me tell you were created by God with a divine purpose. There's never been an accident child. God has never made any junk. You were created by God, and there's a purpose and a destiny on your life. Ephesians 2, 8, 9 gives us an explanation of this and how to step into this relationship with God, into this purpose that He's called us to. It says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourself. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. You know, it's by faith that you step into a personal forever relationship with God, right? It's everything that He's done for you, not anything that you do. You just say yes to Him and invite Him in to be your Lord and Savior. And then He says, once you do that, you begin to understand that we are God's handiwork. Some translations say masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do the good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. Like He created us to do something which He prepared in advance for us to do. So there's something for you to do with your life. And I don't know what season you're in, but I know that in that season, whether it's single or married or divorced or whatever season you're in, you know, God has a purpose for you in this moment. And I want you to hear this, because you are created on purpose, for a purpose. You're not an accident. You're not a failure. You know, there's a divine purpose on your life. And you just need to figure out, okay, what is that? What is that purpose? And I'll just tell you, the purpose that God has on your life is actually the same for every single person in here. And here's what it is. You ready? Your ultimate purpose is to glorify God. Let me say that in a little bit different language. Glorifying God means just to serve Him with your life. To serve Him in every area of your life. That's your purpose. And you go, whoa, my purpose is not actually to find a person. My purpose is to glorify God with my life. So I can say, before I find my person, I need to find my purpose, which is to glorify God. I remember when Kim and I began to talk about getting married, right? We had graduated, about to graduate from college. She actually was already graduated. I was trying to graduate. And I had so many questions. I mean, I was freaking out, really. You know, like, what is life going to be like, Kim? I mean, where are we going to live? What are we going to do? We thought we were supposed to go on the mission field. We go, where do we go? What does that look like? You know, how are we going to do this? And I can remember Kim saying, I don't know. You know, I don't know, buddy, what we're going to do. But I remember we had this one moment where it's like, you know, we were both going, we have no clue. And then she said, but I know this one thing. This is what we're going to do. We're going to follow God. wherever we go. We're going to follow Him and serve Him and bring glory to Him through our lives. As you can see, she's always been the spiritual leader in our family. But in that moment, I got it. And I said, you're right. That's what we're going to do. And it gave me such confidence when I was so scared. It gave me a confidence that every day we were going to get up and say, okay, what does that mean for us today? How do we serve Him today? How do we bring glory to Him in our lives today? Let me tell you, you can be on different pages with a lot of things in your life, but you can't be on a different page when it comes to that. That's the number one thing. And so we got married, and we began to take major steps through life, right? And we began to have children, and it was tough. And you go, well, how do you do that, right? Because we realized with our life, here's what we know. It's not the person that defines us. It's His purpose that defines us. And we're going to pursue the purpose of God, which is to glorify Him with our lives. It starts with you. The second truth I want to give you is this. If you're going to achieve this goal, that it starts with you. Before you find intimacy, you need to find your identity. And I really believe there's some people in here today, and your identity has been shaped around the fact of, okay, I'm with this guy, or I'm with this girl. I have this accomplishment in my life. I have this ability. You know, I have this personality that's amazing. I have these experiences. And you've made your identity about what other people can do for you or what you can do for other people. And I want you to know, this God wants to give you a name before He gives you another person. Your identity needs to be found in Jesus, in Christ. And when you find your identity in Christ, He changes your name. He changes your name. I mean, you know, you go from a creation to His child. When I found my identity in Christ, my life didn't change overnight, but my name, it changed in God's book. I mean, it wasn't like He said, you are no longer Monty Davis. You know, now you're Heavenly Possum, or, you know, I mean, that wasn't it. He didn't say, I'm going to call you Angel Monty or believe in Virgil. No, I'm Monty Davis, but I moved from creation to a child of God. 1 John 3:1, I don't have this for you, but it says, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. It's a new identity. He changes your name. He changes your eternity from totally separated from God to connected with your God. Connected in a relationship that He promises that He will never leave you or forsake you. He changes our selfish desires to selfless ones. God, through the power of His Holy Spirit living in you, wants to change your desires, your passions, your desires from desiring the world's way to desiring God's way. And let me tell you, when you begin to find your identity in Jesus and begin to live that out, it can become so secure. You can begin to have such a confidence in who you are in Christ. And I think it's so important that you know who God has created you to be. Then He can put you in a relationship where you can lead and you can help each other and you can walk alongside each other, because what's frustrating is two people coming together and those two people have no clue who they are in Christ. And when they come together, their marriage is a mess. It's a wreck. It's one disaster after another disaster. Why? Because they don't know who they are. So eventually, if they don't know who they are personally, they never know who they are together. So we've got to figure out who God has created us to be first. And the most important thing you're going to do with your life is to figure out who God has created you and made you to be, and find that identity in Him. You know, we have to let God feel our deepest needs. Nothing else can do that. Not even my wife, right? I use this illustration a lot, and I got to find a new one. Maybe somebody can give me one later on today, but because most of these guys have never watched Jerry Maguire, but it was a movie by Tom Cruise, and he was a football agent, NFL football agent, and he was all about show me the money, you know, Tom Cruise, show me the money. But he met this girl, fell in love with her, and messed up and came back to her and goes through this long conversation with her. Until at the end, he says, "You complete me." The famous line, right? "You complete me." And I even reviewed that clip this past week, and even as he was saying, I was going, "What?" Listen, Kim is my soulmate, if you want to use that word. I really don't like that word, but if you want to use that word, she's my best friend. I love her passion for life, the way that she loves to serve God and His church. I'd rather be with her than anybody else, but she doesn't complete me, and I don't complete her. Only God can fill up the God-shaped hole in our heart. In Christ, we are made complete. When we get that relationship right, then we can bring a better person into all of our relationships. Proverbs 19:22 tells us what we want. It says what a person desires is unfailing love. There's only one place you can get that kind of love. You have to go to the source of love. To hope or expect another imperfect person to complete you is setting up the relationship for a huge disappointment. Only when you love God and let God love you, only when you experience His unfailing love, will you be able to love in a way that a marriage needs. We all long for His unfailing love, one that is constant, compassionate, understanding of our faults, one who knows all about our weaknesses, but still, you know, is faithful to us and loves us anyway. The only place to get that kind of love is in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Letting Him complete you. Letting Him complete me. Letting Him love me. Now, I'll just be honest with you. Letting Him love me has changed everything in my life, including my marriage. And this passage of Scripture here, and I might even have read it last week, but it's so amazing that I want to read it again today. It's helped me on this journey to relax in who I am. It's helped me to find myself, my true identity, as a treasured child of the Most High God. It's the passage in Ephesians 3, verses 16 through 19. It says this, "I pray that from His glorious, unlimited resources, He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Then Christ will make His home in your hearts as you trust in Him. Your roots will grow down deep into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep His love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully." He says, then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. That's my prayer, that you would grasp how God sees and how God loves you. It's the most important thing you can do for your marriage, really for any relationship, for your life, to grasp how big, wide, and long, and high, and deep His unfailing love is for you, and to let that capture your heart and to let that truth go all the way through you so that you can learn to love and thrive in relationship with God and with other people. And when you do that, you will no longer say, "Why aren't you normal like me?" Because you will bring a better, a more humble you to the relationship. If you do that, you can begin to have the best marriage possible. But listen, the first goal in this relationship series is it starts with you. It starts with you. I mean, we're going to talk about seeking God, and we're going to talk about slaying the devil, and we're going to talk about staying together, but the first goal begins with you and your relationship with God. Finding your purpose, your identity in Him. It starts with you. Pray with me, please. And just every head bowed, you know, just kind of let's spend a moment in the presence, continue to spend a moment in the presence of God. And I want Him just to continue to speak to your heart, because this is all about becoming the one He's created you to be. This is all about you getting right in your relationship with Him so that you can bring a better version of you to your relationship. So let me just talk to the men real quickly. Listen, I think because I'm a man, I know your heart, right? I know there's been times in your life that you've been wounded, or you're not good enough, that you've been through some pain and some loss. And I know you don't always get what you need. But this is what I know. If you have Jesus, you have everything you need. If you have Jesus, you have everything you need to be a faithful husband, a strong and kind father, a provider and a protector. If you have Jesus, you have everything you need. And ladies, let me just speak to your heart. I know that words have sometimes abused you. I know that you've suffered pain and loss and disappointment. I know that life brings anxieties and discouragement and depression. I know that. And I know you don't always get what you need, but I just know this. If you have Jesus, you have everything you need. If you have Jesus, you have everything you need to be a good woman, a responsive wife, a nurturing mother, a guardian of your home. If you have Jesus, you have everything you need. Father, it's my prayer this morning that as we start this new series, God, that you've led us to, just about relationship goals, Father, that, Father, each one of us here in this room would begin to start with ourselves. Father, that we would step into a relationship with you by faith. We would come into that relationship with you and receive what you did through your Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross, and through his burial and resurrection, that we have opportunity to come into a relationship with you, God, and that step into a relationship where God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, you are with us and that you'll never leave us or forsake us. So that's my prayer, that every one of us in this room would make sure that we know that we're in that relationship with you, God. That we received what Jesus did for us on the cross through the resurrection. That, Father, this morning, as we step into a new month, that Father, as we focus on relationships, if we focus on our marriages, Father, that you would give us the courage, the confidence to step into the purpose, into the work that you've called us to, that you prepared for us, to begin to live our lives in a way that brings you glory. And that, Father, we would trust that as we do that, you would help us be a better person, a better husband, a better wife, in the relationships that you bless us with.